Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today to this recording. We are going back into our study of the ABCs of Christian Growth and the study of F, and that is the family. And we're talking about the Christian family whenever we're studying from the scriptures concerning the family. There's all kinds of definitions of family in the world today, and some groups are even trying to, as foolish and as stupid as it is, there's some groups out there, and I'm not kidding you with this, that are trying to get it to be law to where you cannot legally say the word husband or say the word wife, and trying to get it removed from the English language. Well, I don't know whether they're going to be able to do it or not, but either way, we're going to study what the Bible says, and we're going to find out what the Lord has to say about things concerning the family. We've talked about, just to recap a little bit, we've talked about the first home and where man and woman come from and how they got here and why the woman was made, talking about God said that there wasn't anything that was not good for a man, and it was for him to be alone. So he made the very best thing that God thought was proper to fulfill this thing that was not good for a man. Now, if God says there's something that's not good, then it's not good, right? And he said it was not good that man be alone. Okay, so he made all them animals, and he had Adam name all of them, and apparently there wasn't any of those that could fulfill the place or fulfill the need that God thought that man needed. And so he put him to sleep and took a rib out of his side, and he made a woman. And he brought her, and she fit perfectly. And the Lord married them, and he said, let them leave their father and mother and cleave. And let the man cleave unto his wife. And God says that the woman is to be a help meet for the man. And that's why she was created. So women do have purpose, reason, and have measure of the reason that they're supposed to be. You do have reason, and you do have a fulfillment in this life. You have a purpose, and it's God's purpose, the same as the man's. We are to the number one thing that we are to do is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we are to love our neighbor as ourself, the Bible says, and we fulfill the whole law in doing these things. Jesus said that. But in the family, the Lord, this is one of the two institutions that the Lord made, talks about in the scriptures, and that he instituted. When one of them was the church, and one of them was the home, or is the home. And he hasn't changed his mind about things in the scriptures. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, the Bible says that his word doesn't change, and that he's not going to change it, and nobody else ought to change it. So we can trust God's word. And it tells us the Lord encourages us to trust him with all our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So the Lord encourages us not to try to understand these things ourselves, but to go by his word and to understand his word and get understanding from his word and get clarity from his word and believe his word and live by his word, and then we'll have fulfillment. And we do. Whenever we are in, we acknowledge the Lord, and when we don't understand things and ask him to show us direction and to give us meaning and understanding, the Lord does that. Now, what the Lord wants us to know, he has given us in his word. And it would take more lifetimes than you and all of us put together on planet Earth to define the entirety of God's Word. You're never going to get to the end of God's Word. A little girl asked her preacher father one time and said, "What are you going to do when you preach all the messages in the Bible?" And that's not really possible, is it? God's Word is so in depth and it goes so far beyond man's intellect. It's ridiculous, we're never going to extinguish God's Word and the understanding in God's Word. It's infinite. So, understanding all that and talking about the family and the Christian home, we talked about the first home, and we talked about what was not good for a man and what God said was not good for a man, and then he made a fulfillment for that problem. And you women ought to be honored that the Lord thinks that you are the answer to the very first problem that he said was a problem, and that was that man shouldn't be alone. So if God wanted to fix this problem and he found that he made a woman and she was the perfect fit for that, then why would you want to be in any other position other than what God says that you are to fulfill? Contentment and your understanding and your contentment and your happiness in this life is contingent, a matter of whether or not you want to be in your measure where God says that you fit the best. So saying all that, and that includes men too. But that's what we're talking about this. That's why we're going over this family study and the ABCs of it. Because it's vital nowadays, and you can see in society, and if you've got any kind of sense at all between your eyes, then you can look around you, and it doesn't take very much looking to see that one of the things that's being destroyed and annihilated on this earth is the family. 20 years ago, you folks that are my age, I'm not going to tell you what my age is, but you just have to go by my voice. Okay, but anyway, 20 years ago and 30 years ago and 40 years ago and 50 years ago, there was major differences in today and definite differences in today than 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 and 40 and 50 years ago concerning the matters of the importance of family and how important family was and what the designation of the family as far as having to do with the laws and the matters of life and everything in society, even society seen husband and wife and the family differently, 10, 20, 30, 40. You can see the decay of the family coming all the way up to 2018. And the family is a, it's kind of like a, I don't know what the word is. I'm trying to think of the word. It's right on the end of my tongue, but it's a joke. It's a joke in society. It's something that a clown would say to make people laugh. Family? that's the way society sees family nowadays. And because of all the adultery and the fornication and the filthiness that's in the world today and openly, and because our government's given rights to the ungodly and saying that society, saying that the ungodly have their rights. You know something? You never have the right to do wrong. That's something America should just stick to, and half the problems would be over with if we just stick to that one problem. You never have the right to do wrong. You see, that's what's killing society, and I'm not going to get into this a whole lot, but that's what's destroying America is that you're giving rights to people that want to do wrong. You see, and the Bible has polarities and always has. Up is up and down is down. Left is left, right is right. In and out, up and down, black or white, salt and pepper, dark and light, all of this. And God teaches us that in His Word, and society is trying to bring all things together and relative to where there are no differences in good and bad. It's just the way you perceive it. That's called relative, and that's the God of this world now. And where everybody that wants to do wrong is getting their rights to do wrong. So anyway, we're going to go by what the Bible says is right and wrong. And we talked about last week the husband's duty to his wife. Okay, this week we're going to talk about the wife's duty to her husband. And we're going to begin there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 through 24. The Bible says, wives, if you're a wife, this applies to you. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, that's the Word of God. And you wives should not be offended by that. That should not offend you. That should make you smile and make you comforted in heart. And it all has to do with the intent of your heart. The Bible says that the Bible not only knows what your heart thinks, but it knows why your heart thinks what it thinks. Now, what is the condition of your heart concerning your marriage and your husband and your relationship with God having to do with that? Do you want to obey the Lord? Or, well, if you want to obey the Lord, then you should have peace in your heart because of the intention of your heart. You know that you want to do right. The Lord knows you want to do right. And it's always a battle for us to do the right thing. It's easy to do the wrong thing, and it's easy to for men and women alike. But the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Submit. As unto the Lord. Submit unto your husband as if you were submitting to the Lord, and as like you would submit to the Lord. It says that Sarah called her husband Lord, not in the sense of him being her God, but in the sense of her submitting to him, talking about Abraham. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, there's a place. So when we was talking about the husband's duties to his wife, we said that the husband was to be the head of the wife. Remember that? Now he turned around, he's talking to the wives, and he says, for the husband is the head of the wife. And even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, and we are subject to our Lord, so let the wives be to their husbands, their own husbands, not everybody's husband, just her own husband, in everything. In everything. Now, Colossians chapter 3:18 also says that. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. You want to talk about something that fits? As it is fit in the Lord. It's the right thing to do. The Lord says that in his word that we believe to be supernatural and written by the Lord and by the God the Holy Ghost. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It's the right thing to do. Now, we talked to the husbands last week, so I'm not going to get on the husbands. But a husband needs to be worthy to be submitted to. And we talked to him last week about that. But that is not a condition of whether or not you are to submit to him or not. Because the Bible talks about you having an unsaved husband also and submitting to him to win him to Jesus Christ. But no matter what the husband is and how difficult he is to submit to, submission is submission. And the Bible says that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now that's the second scripture that we found. In Ephesians, the Bible tells you to do that. In Colossians, the Bible tells you to do that. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5. And you get these scriptures down, I'll give them to you. You get these scriptures down and you look at them and you read them. And find out what the Lord's will is for you. It says, likewise, ye wives, submit or be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You see how important your conversation or your manner of life is as far as being in subjection to your husband. It says that the power that you can put out by the example of your manner of life can win him for eternity to the Lord Jesus Christ and turn his heart to the Lord. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women, remember the old time we was talking about old fashioned and everything last week or last recording? For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women, not the ungodly women, but the holy women. The holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So see, it's a matter of choice. You know how to be subject, and what would be the reason that you would not want to be subject? What would be the reason that you would not want to be subject? It wouldn't be any scriptural reason that you would not want to be subject to your husband. The Bible says and commands us all to be in our measure. And God has made women, and they are different creatures than men, and that's one of the mistakes that men and women make today, thinking that they are the same kind of creature, and they're not. Men are different creatures than women, and women are different creatures than men. They were created at different times and for different reasons. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The Bible says that the wife is to guide the household. The wife is to submit and be in subjection to her own husband. And how much? In everything. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, she is to reverence her husband. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and that the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, let's not make a god out of him, but that is to be sure that what is reverencing? Reverencing is the regard of having feelings and or regard with feelings of respect and reverence. In other words, when people see you and the way that you think about your husband, and when they examine you about your thoughts and your behavior and your attitude toward your husband, they see respect and they see reverence from you. Now, understand these are things that we have to learn. These are things that women have to learn how to be, and it takes time. But are you practicing? These are things that men have to take time in doing to make the right and proper kind of relationship between a man and a woman to where, you know, one of the things that I heard a long time ago that sticks with me, I was listening to a preacher that I admire, and I was at his church and listening to him, and he told about one time, he said, you know, one of the things that's so special to me that I that was happening the other night, and he said it was very special to me. He said, my wife and I, after being married over 50 years, he said, it kind of came as a realization. He said, the other night we were going to bed and we were both sitting up in bed and both of us were singing hymns together, sitting in bed together. And I thought, now, being together 50 years, and being able to sit up in a bed and sing hymns together and praise the Lord together and meaning it. Now, that takes practice and that takes discipline and that takes sacrifice. Ladies, the Bible says, wives, the wife is to submit and be in subjection to her own husband in everything. The Bible says to reverence your husband. That means to regard him with feelings of respect and reverence. The Bible says that you are to guide the household. 1 Timothy 5:14, I just read. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Those things that verse just got through explaining, that the younger women marry, that they bear children and guide the house. Do you know that them things right there, after a woman runs and goes and does all her imaginary things and the things that she thinks important in this life other than the Word of God and what God says her measure is, do you know that these things are always the things that they come back to? And they have in their heart. You listen to a woman that has been, I don't know, just made it big in some kind of corporation or blah-bitty-blah, whatever. But you know one thing that she always comments on? She says, well, I'm getting kind of old now, and I want to make sure that I can find me a good husband, and I want to have a child, and, you know, I kind of just want to go home and take care of my house. You know, that's all that they always go back to. Isn't that peculiar? It says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary. Who's the adversary? You know who the adversary is. To speak reproachfully. In other words, they can point the finger at the woman and say, she ought not be doing that. You know, or speak about the Lord. She says she's a Christian. She behaves like that. That's not what a Christian woman's like. That's not you, is it, lady? It shouldn't be. Not a Christian woman. And no matter what anybody else thinks about Christian is what we are. And if you name the name of Christ, then you are Christ-like. And we should have Christ-likeness. Moving right along, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34 and 35, it says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Now, that's New Testament. That's written by the Apostle Paul, and he said it. So if you're mad, be mad at him. But he said it, and he said that the women are supposed to keep silent in the churches. I don't know why. I don't know why the Lord said that, and I don't know. I can't tell you why he said it. All I can tell you is that he says it. And that it ought to be obeyed. It says, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And it says, and if they will learn anything, it doesn't mean that you can't listen to the preacher and learn, and you can't sit in Sunday school and learn. It means that if you want to learn anything that you need to talk about or discuss, that you need to learn it from your husband and ask your husband at home. Okay, so another thing that the wife duty to her husband is that the wife is to learn from her husband. And, you know, that's a problem with some of you women is that you think you're too hooty-snooty, that you can't ask your husband things and for some guidance and to help you and to lead you in the right direction. You know, maybe if you'd ask your husband and ask his opinion about things sometimes and ask for his direction and for his counsel sometimes, maybe he would think, well, maybe I am needed. You know, the Lord set this thing up perfect. And if we would just do and behave within our measure of what the Lord says that we are supposed to be as husbands and that we are supposed to be as wives, then things would work out. So the wife is to submit and be in subjection to her own husband in everything. She is to reverence her husband. She is to guide the household. Are you guiding your household? Answer the question, lady. Are you guiding your household? Or is somebody else taking care of your children and guiding them and teaching them the values and principles of life and what life is all about and what they ought to think important and what they ought not think important? Do you know that there is some devilish teachers in the world today that'll teach your kids some of the nastiest, ungodliest things? Don't you know that? Bible says you're supposed to guide the household. Are you doing it? It's not a matter of whether well this and well that and well this. It's a matter of whether you're going to obey the Lord or not. God is right all the time with the husbands and with the wives and his instructions to them. We're talking about the wife's duties to her husband now. She is to guide the household. The man's not supposed to have to take care of the household. He's supposed to provide for you and his children. He's not supposed to take care of the household. You are supposed to take care of the household. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Okay, now in Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, the Bible says the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So what the scripture is telling us about you older women, is that you're supposed to have behavior that becomes holiness. When people see you and see your behavior, they say, that's a holy woman. That is a godly woman. And then you're also not supposed to blaspheme the word of God by being a false accuser, by drinking much wine, the Bible says, not given to much wine. And it says that also that you are a teacher of good things, not bad things, and that they may teach the younger women. In other words, you are already the example, but now you can teach the younger women to be sober, to think properly, to not go off on some crazy, stupid, wild thing about I got my rights and blabbity blab and all this kind of stuff, but to think soberly and to love her husband. You're supposed to teach the younger women to love their husband. You can't do that if you're not loving your own husband, right? And to love their children. To love their children. It's not old news that we got 6-year-olds committing suicide nowadays. The 15 and 16-year-old children, the second leading cause of children's death in 1 year annually is suicide. They're killing themselves. Your children are killing themselves, folks. They don't find any reason. They look around them. They look at mom and dad. They look at the family. They look at society. They look at schools. And they can't find any reason for life. So they kill themselves. I got that in paperwork and documentation. It's no joke. It's not a joke. It's really, really, really critical that these children are killing themselves. And I say children. We got children's prisons for underage children. There are children, I'm talking about 10 and 11, 12-year-olds, that have life sentences. That's not family. That's not family. And we're going to talk about parents' duty to their children and children's duty to their parents. And we're going to break this down the way God says to do it. But today, wives' duties to their husbands. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, what we just got through reading, the wife is to be blank to her own husband. What does the Bible say? It says to be obedient to their own husbands. You are to be obedient to your husband. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you have a child that is disobedient, what does that mean? That means that he does not obey. When you have a child that is obedient, what does that mean? That means that that child obeys. The Bible says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. So when the Bible says for a wife to be obedient to her husband, what is it saying? It's saying to obey him. To obey him. That used to be one of the things, and that's one of the things that's the big joke nowadays about getting married. That in the vows that the woman and the man would the woman would promise to obey her husband. I don't know if they do that anymore. I haven't been to a wedding in a while, but most people just shack up. But the wife is to be obedient to her husband. That's kind of like meaning dutifully, out of the sense of duty, complying with the instructions of her husband. Not because she has to, but because she wants to. There's a big difference in that, of doing things because you have to or doing things because you want to. When you do things because you want to, that is obedience. And the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice, and it's of great price in the sight of God. The Bible says that a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. So, the wife is to be obedient to her husband. Now, if your husband's not a Christian, then in 1 Peter and chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they may be won, that they may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. In other words, your discipline and your obedience to the Lord and your devotion to God's word and your behavior in front of the Lord, living with your husband, that does not submit to the Lord, will win him when he don't want to hear anything from the Word of God or the Bible. Don't read that Bible to me. Your chaste conversation will win him and will turn his heart to the Lord. My last preacher that I had that I love very much, he's gone to be with the Lord now. I was there when he died and went to be with the Lord and left. And I was there with his dear wife and with his daughter and his son, and they allowed me to be there when he went. And one thing that he used to teach in class all the time was that his wife was responsible for winning him to the Lord. He said that he and his wife were used to be, that was back in the 50s and 60s, and they were drinkers and partiers and stuff like that. Not like today, but back then. And said that they had their household and their children, and that his wife, somebody come by and wanted to take their children to Sunday school. Well, a Baptist church, or I think it was a Baptist church, wanted to take their children to Sunday school. Well, they said it was okay. Well, the wife got to thinking about it and wanted to know what that church was teaching her children, so she got on the bus and rode to church to find out what they were teaching the children, and she ended up getting saved. And she accepted Jesus Christ, her Savior. Well, that changed her life. and she began to be chaste and obedient and changed her clothes and changed her hairstyle. And the Holy Ghost was teaching her to change. The Bible says, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And things started becoming new to her. And preacher started noticing this stuff, that she was changing. And he kept asking her, what's going on with you? What's going on with you? What's going on with you? And then he finally came to the conclusion that he said that they were sitting in the bedroom one day. And he says, I know what the problem with this family is. There's no God in this house. And he said that by her conversation and the way that she behaved, and she become a godly woman in front of him of what he used to know she was, that he couldn't take it no more. And he went to church and got saved. And if it hadn't been for his wife getting saved and the way that she lived in front of him, he'll tell you in a minute, she's responsible for winning me to Jesus Christ. He'll tell you in a minute. So I heard it firsthand and seen the people and lived around the people. And I know him and I know his wife and I know his children. And their children are my age. But they're all wonderful people. And isn't that interesting? But true. The Bible is true. The Bible says that that you wives submit yourselves. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also without the word may be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. They watch your manner of life now that you're saved, and they see that there is a power working in you, God the Holy Ghost. They can see God the Holy Ghost working in you, changing you. And they start to want it. Isn't that neat? The Lord is so wonderful. But never set out to disobey your unsaved husband just because he's unsaved. Even if it means having to miss church or this, that, and the other, whatever he says, you're to obey him. And I know some women that are married that will come to church and are faithful to church that have had to miss church because their husband would get stupid and not let them go. But like I said, I know some that were won by the conversation of the wives and the obedience of the wives. It wins them. It wins them. It does. And don't ever try to push the Bible down his throat. I mean, God the Holy Ghost is good at doing that, and he knows just the right place to touch that heart. Now, moving along, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4 and 5, the Bible says that the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent, for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Just like we talked with the men, the husband's duties to their wives, the wife's duty to their husband is similar in this manner about defrauding. You are not to defraud your husband. If you ain't going to help your husband in intimate matters, somebody will. The devil will put somebody in front of them that will help them. And you don't want that. That'll destroy your marriage. Your marriage is sacred. And between you and your husband. And you're to cleave to one another. And be close to one another. And draw in and avoid being separated at all costs. The physical union of a marriage is intended for the intimate pleasure of both husband and wife. And notice the Bible said it's so important that the wife's body is not her own anymore, it's her husband's. And that the husband's body is not his own anymore, it's the wife's. So that's how important it is for you to take care of one another's needs in this manner. Never use these things for bargaining chips or stupidity like that. That cheapens it and makes it where it's not as valuable as it ought to be between you both. Husband and wife must work together in this area to achieve understanding and harmony and unity in these things. So there we go. Not very long, not very much, but necessary things that need to be said from the Word of God. I said them because I'm teaching this, but God the Holy Ghost is the one that wrote it and ordered it to be put down in His eternal Word for us. And the wife is to submit. Let's just recap a little bit. The wife is to submit and be in subjection to her own husband in everything. That pretty well defines it as far as how much, what, and who to submit to and all the answers. And she's to reverence her husband. She is to guide the household. She is to learn from her husband. The wife is to be obedient to her own husband out of a sense of duty, not because she has to, but because she wants to. And if you have an unsaved husband, you're not to do it. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, the Bible says. And also, don't defraud your husband. If he has intimate needs and physical needs, and that flesh needs to be satisfied, then it's your responsibility to do that. He's your husband. Okay, well, that pretty well covers. See, that wasn't all that bad, was it? Matter of fact, it was good news. And just like when we was talking about the husband's duty to his wife, we said that was good news. This is good news also. Anytime we learn from God's Word and learn truth. Now, that, see those things that we went over today? The world is completely ignorant to these things and just thinks that this is the funny papers when you say these things. That's what they think of it as, the funny papers. That's so old-fashioned. That's old funny papers, man. Well, it hadn't changed as far as God's concerned. And if you want a good marriage, and I've been in a lot of churches and preached and updated ministries and churches, and I've had a lot of women come up to me and tell me that they didn't believe in divorce and they would have their children in church, and that the husband was out running amok and he had a problem with sex, and she said she didn't believe in marriage, and some of them would tell me that, and please pray for us that our marriage would be, and I still pray for some of them, some of the families right now, and that's not a joke, and it's sad to hear those things. So, like a preacher used to say, just don't let it be you. Just don't let it be you. Whatever you can do to improve your marriage, and God has said so, then if God has said it and you will obey it, then it will work. It's not a question of whether it's going to work. It's a question of whether you're going to incorporate it. Okay? All right. Well, God bless you, and thank you for listening to this and for your patience with my the knock on the door a while ago and all the interruptions. That's when the enemy likes to come, and he tries to interrupt these things all the time. So don't be surprised. I appreciate y'all, and I thank you for listening to these. And next recording, we'll talk about parents' duties to their children. Until then, bye-bye.